This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Go Wild. Go Wild is a social media platform designed for and by outdoorsmen. Go Wild is a place to connect with other outdoorsmen, find fishing and hunting tips and tactics, and you can even research and buy your gear. Join hundreds of thousands of other hunters, fishermen, and outdoorsmen and experience what this community is all about. Download it today at downloadgowild.com.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith
and Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome back, guys. Land and Legacy Podcast here. Adam and Matt. Matt's on the road, sir. So if you hear a little background noise, you know what's up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hope everyone's doing well this week. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm slowly getting there, Adam. I think that you are too. You and Chad talk about later, or I guess on the other podcast this week. There's just so much going on that it's sometimes mentally tough to get ready and into the mindset of season. But I think we're gonna try and do that a little bit this week on this podcast.
One thing about our podcast, we don't talk a ton on hunting scenarios or ultimately gear is one thing we don't really talk on a lot. We've done a few podcasts in the past, but we really like the great broadhead debate that's occurring right now is not really been a part of our message. But as we get closer into hunting season, we do kind of shift at least on one of these podcasts to talk more about the hunting, because that's a big part of why we do what we do, why we get paid to do what we do, and why we enjoy the outdoors as much as we do is kind of the top of the iceberg as being either spring turkey season or fall archery season. And that's kind of the peak for a lot of people of the overall enjoyment. Everything comes back to that. Here we are.
And it's a good time too. I know we talked about last year, we had a really good podcast, talking about like transitioning into the idea of this is a herd management season and you could still improve property and make changes and, you know, it really increase your opportunity and say over a property what's happening in the population dynamic during hunting season. It's not just chasing things with antlers on their head. And I think, Adam, you and Chad talked about that this week too. It's like, we can use this to manage and basically hit other objectives on a property.
Yeah.
So it's herd management season just as much as hunting season.
Yeah,
we can't forget that.
I think that's a big one right now. And in my experience is the years, you know, I talk about it in great detail over on the other podcast, but really a lot of people, and I've been guilty of this a lot, is our whole season is devoted on the buck that we're hoping shows up. And then we drag out the whole season of going, well, he never showed up. And we left that whole season. We didn't manage the herd, and we didn't do any work on the farm because we didn't want to possibly bump the deer that wasn't there anyway. And so to me, that's, you know, as we're going into fall, I can't emphasize that enough to our listeners, is just because it's hunting season doesn't mean don't do the work. Just because it's hunting season,
yep.
You know, you can do habitat work, and you can also, most importantly, you need to do herd management work. We've got a podcast coming up on this, but one of the big things is obviously thinning out antlerless does. But then another thing you can be doing is working on, and I almost don't even like this word because it causes such a big picture definition when it's a very small thing that we're talking about, is culling. And really ultimately what we're trying to do is find those bucks that are mature that we may not necessarily want to put our tag on, but we're trying to get them killed because they're very aggressive, or they're one of the main bucks in this food plot, and you can see how aggressive they are to some of your younger bucks who were already nicer, and it's like, we want to make sure we take them out. And you know, that's kind of something our friend Seth Harker tries to do. There's a lot of other people that try to do, and are really, really effective at it. And that's one thing that, you know, we tried to do last year, and Dad said, "Nib, not the buck I want." so that's
Thank
another
you,
thing you can do. Yeah, yeah. So,
but at the same time, like that's important, and that's more of like a herd, like social dynamic.
Yeah.
Factor even opposed to just the overall population dynamic. That we just cannot forget about and I think so many people just undervalue the implications of that on the whole system.
Yeah.
And that's where this all gets tied back to. There's it seems like there's a category almost of like land management and then wildlife management, when really it's all one and the same. And this is kind of into the aspect of being able to have our control based on seasons and regulations of that wildlife management aspect of it. So don't forget that even though you're a landowner and trying to improve the habitat, this is strongly correlated with it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One thing I want to point out before we jump into this week's topic is the discount code FALL on shoplandandlegacy.com. FALL, just like one of our favorite seasons of the year, fall. And that's going to give you $12 off the camo hats in our store. So we've got the whitetail deer conservation cap with First Light Fusion camo, and then we have the wild turkey camo hat in the First Light Cypher. And we've got a handful. We've got more turkeys than we have deer hats in stock. So if you hear this, you want to jump on it quick, because there's a handful of the deer ones, and I don't know, there's a good amount of turkeys. But use the promo code FALL, and you get $12 off one of those hats, or each of those hats.
Nice.
So
perfect for getting into hunting season. I think they're both mesh back, too, correct?
Uh-huh.
So
they're
early season
back.
Is wonderful.
Yeah. So, and that's just kind of a thank you to you guys as we get ready to go into fall, giving you a pretty good discount on the hat. So, I think that was pretty much all my major announcements. Oh, one other thing getting into the fall, One of our partners helped make this podcast possible, Vortex Optics. If you use promo code LEGACY20 in the apparel part of the store, so that gets you 20% off all the apparel at VortexOptics.com. And, you know, you think Vortex Optics, like, oh, it's rangefinders, they're going to have a few hats. They have almost like they could almost have a storefront in a mall for the amount of clothes that they have in that place. I mean, you got great jackets, pullovers, hoodies, obviously t-shirts. I don't think a day goes by that I'm not wearing a Vortex t-shirt, it seems like, because they're so awesome. But hats, socks, stocking caps, all kinds of different apparel. So use promo code LEGACY20 and get you 20% off. All right. Jumping in. Matt, this is kind of your topic. You're the one who came up with this, as we're kind of wanting to start easing into the hunting season. And we may cover a lot of other stuff coming up before it actually opens up or before we really get going crazy. But this is one of the – this is kind of an ongoing question that we get in all factors of what we do when it comes to the apps, the phone apps that we use. Because if you've ever been with us on if a client's listening, they know that we're on our phone a lot. And I almost always tell the client, hey, I'm not on my phone texting my wife or whatever. Like, I work off my phone. So don't look over here and think that I'm Facebooking, because I'm working off my phone.
Hey, bro, I'm scrolling right. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah. So
that's definitely a hot question we get through social media, or just, you know, in the dealings with folks. And it's all about, like, how to make the determination, or what's the best resource to be able to determine weather forecast for, should I hunt or should I stay home? Should I go to the tree stand, or do I need to select the blind this afternoon, or do I just stay at home?
Do I decide to go and do work on the farm instead of hunting? That was something Chad and I covered last night.
Certainly. And did you guys talk about, like, the fact that, like, deer and wildlife, you know, we talk about keeping all these areas secure, like, but they tolerate chainsaw activity and a lot of more disturbance than we actually think.
No, we didn't talk about that particularly.
We
just
that
said
at
that,
another time,
you know, when we covered the whole, when you cover, whether or not you should do the work and looking at it from a, if you don't do it now, you're going to wait till January, and then you have to wait till the next September and October and November to actually see the results. So do it now, and you won't get you don't have the huge plant response, but you still have the woody structure and the vegetation, and the trees still have leaves on them, and they'll hold those leaves, unlike a tree that loses its leaves in the fall and then you cut it down. So, you know, if you cut a tree down and that still has its leaves on, it'll hold on to them for a lot longer than the trees that are just that just lose their leaves during the fall.
Yeah, for sure. And we can get into that topic of disturbance and what they tolerate in another podcast. But we don't give deer enough. We give them too much credit. They really tolerate work and disturbances really
pretty
well.
Especially if you're improving the habitat and improving the cover. Like, if you're running a chainsaw, it's way better than probably what your neighbors who haven't ran a chainsaw or cut only a little bit, cut the mid-story out in the in the winter, and they didn't cut the actual canopy, so there's not enough sunlight to provide the plant response, yada, yada, yada. So, anyway.
No, that's basically go out and do work. So these apps are kind of what we use for determining what activity that we are going to accomplish in a given week. Adam, I know that your schedule is very busy, both working and family life and everything. And now with having the aspect of having cattle and managing, rotating a herd and whatnot, like, it's even going to be even more limited to time of hunting and in the field. So being able to determine ahead of time what is quality and having that forecast available to you is super important. And same thing, we try not to overhunt areas. So even being like I'm now 15 minutes away from the lease, and so I have more time to go and hunt, but that doesn't mean that I'm just going to go and hunt more. It's picking the quality days. So these two apps we're going to talk about, both are good, and we may have more. Adam, you might throw in another one that you use, but we are looking for specific things such as the ability to have like an hourly weather table to be able to show what transpires on a given time frame throughout, you know, a 24-hour period, and not just the day, what's the high, the low, and the wind direction. Like, we need more information than that to be able to determine what is going to constitute as a good day or a bad day. So something that gives you barometric pressure, gives you the wind speed over a time frame, opposed to that general speed and direction on a given day.
Yeah.
So those
what are some of the
things?
What are some of the things, if you were to rank them out, that you're looking for most importantly in a weather app that's provided to then gather your hunting strategy? So
yeah,
temperature for
absolutely.
Sure. Wind speed, absolutely.
Yep.
Relative humidity, absolutely.
Yep.
Barometric pressure,
absolutely.
What else?
I like to look at, almost make this like personal comparison of the 7-day forecast and then to like the hourly, and make the comparison of okay, not only do I want to know just generally, okay, is it cooler during that time frame or during that day, but like why? What's happening? When is this weather front coming in? I need to understand how long it's going to be present. So I need that like 7-day forecast, but I also need the timing of these fronts to be able to make up the determination. If a front comes in the middle of the night versus, you know, sunrise, that makes a difference. So having that factor of being able to look at things again over a 7-day, 10-day period, as well as that hourly aspect, is super it's super important to me to make that determination of, man, what am I doing? When am I going to do it? Am I going to sit out in the morning, or am I going to go hunt in the afternoon? Which side of the front do I want to hunt on? Or which wind does – are we getting a wind switch like middle of the day and we don't see that show up unless we really dive into the details of that day? That's important.
To me, that's a great point, because I think of like if you were to just take a 3-day – weather forecast, and it's early season, because that's what we're dealing with right now, or soon to be as seasons opens up. If I have a 3-day forecast, I would want the coolest day of those three. If I have a 7-day forecast, I would want the one where it's like, ooh, that day's different than the rest.
Yeah.
And if you took that's okay, that best day in the 7-day forecast, let's say temperatures are average 75 as the high and 58 as the low on average for that 7-day. But one of those days, the high is 63 and the low is 47. I like that day best.
Yes.
But if during that 7-day period, the highs are 63 and 47 and it's all about the same, then I don't love it as much as I loved it when it was the oddball.
Yes.
And I see that a lot, like even in the fall, or even in the late November or early November, if I'm just seeing, the thing I love about the app I use and you use is you can see the line graph. And if the line graph is relatively, it's got some highs because of the daytime, and then it's got little lows for the nighttime, highs and lows, and it just kind of goes a slight zigzag across, I'm kind of going, nah. This is not – I like seeing those drastic changes, because those drastic changes create those weather fronts where you get different wind directions, and it kind of shakes up things to where I feel, in my experience, deer predictability is a lot better when you can see those major changes. Like the story of donuts. I mean, and just because it's – the October lull, and I say that with air quotes, the October lull is, when is the October lull, Matt? Like, define it for me. What is the October lull? Usually,
it's essentially the time period when it just gets hot during October, which could be at any point. There's no like set range of us, generally the 15th through the 18th. Yeah. No, it's just like it could be the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. If it's hot that week, someone's just going to call it the October lull.
Yeah, it's sometime in October when deer stop moving because it gets really warm. And it doesn't mean they stop moving. It just means that moving to food plots is probably lower. They're hanging in their beds longer, moving more at night because it's too doggone hot. They have a winter coat on, and we have summer-like temperatures. Well, if that's the case, then you just base your hunting strategy around where they're bedded during the day. And that's a whole nother podcast. But the October lull, you know, typically is sometime in our world, it seems like it hits more in early to mid-October. Well, October 12th and 13th, a few years ago, we had the first big cold front of the fall, and it actually brought the first heavy frost of the fall. And it was like, even though it's October 12th, let's check and see. Oh, you know what? There's a drastic drop in our line graph happening the night of the 12th. Let's go hunting that night, and let's try to hunt it, you know, in a course of a few days. It was like, let's try to hunt right before it and then right after it. And that was the night I missed donuts, the 193 inch buck on the Whistling Woodlands ranch. So that kind of is like, okay, you know, even though it's early October, that drastic change in the weather is what I'm keying in on. And so for you guys that have limited time to hunt, I feel like where I'm at in my life, so many guys can relate. Your time is limited. You got other things going on. It's hard to really get in the woods as much as we would like. So when we do go to the woods, let's make sure that we're picking the very best days. If you can go once every 2 weeks, then pick the very best day of those 2 weeks. And if you can only go on weekends in the 2 weeks, so you have 4 days, pick the one that's the best and start studying and say, okay, well, where you see that drastic drop, then that's the day to go. And honestly, if it's only going to happen once in the morning, then save your afternoon hunt for another time. And stop burning out holes or burning out stands just to go because you had a small window of time. Because I say this so confidently now based on my experience that if you would just pick the best days and not go just to go, even though in the grand scheme of things you would have less days spent in a stand, the quality of that time in that stand would be much greater than just going to go.
For sure. And you kind of touched on a couple things that I want to reiterate is the consistent weather of 40s at night, 60s in the 60s during the day, that consistency doesn't create spikes in activity. If you have consistent weather patterns across a multi-day time frame, you're going to experience roughly the same type of movement, identical movement from one day to the next. And that's good. You know, consistency, it sounds like, oh, I want consistency. But what you really want is like turbulence or change in what's happening throughout each and every day. You want spikes.
Absolutely. You want those spikes. You want I think we lost Matt for a second as he's traveling, but you want those spikes because, like, for example, I see this in my experience where I would rather have those spikes that would bring in different wind directions. For example, I know the dreaded southeast wind is something that so many people don't plan for, they don't set up stands for, or if they do, it's a small number. I would rather have a front come through and give me a southeast wind than a front not really ever come in. And I'm talking about a good front that's actually changing temperature. It's changing atmospheric pressure. It's overall just changing things up. And by doing that, if it gives me a southeast wind, who cares? I'm happy about it because it gives me a change in what's going on my farm. So I know that we all dream of the northwest wind, or we dream of the west winds or the north winds, and that's kind of the growing trend. I mean, guys, I can't reiterate enough that Matt and I have been blessed enough to work in 30 states now, and almost everywhere we go, the prevailing wind is never something out of the east. It seems like everybody says, it's probably from the southwest, or it's from the northwest, or it's from the north, or it's west. Nobody ever talks about the southeast winds. And here on our farm, southeast wind is, in the last 4 years, has become the dominating wind. For whatever reason, that's the wind that really we get a lot of. And so we have just as many southeast wind sets as we have northwest winds. Just the way it works, we have a lot of southeast winds. And a lot of times what happens for us is we'll have a cold front blow through, and quickly the day after we're starting to shift back to southeast winds. And in that time frame, we got the cool temperatures, wind shifts, we're back to a southeast wind. It doesn't bother me. I just like seeing that change in temperatures. I like seeing those cold front blow through because I know that in that it shakes things up. The lukewarm or the stagnant weather patterns, even if it's cooler, let's say it's a below average temperatures for 2 weeks, and you need to switch that back over to your phone, you just fell off the table, Matt, and I just picked it up and ran with it. So I basically was saying, you know, when it comes to the cold fronts, I would rather see a cold front come through and give me a southeast wind, which is like the dreaded one, than no cold front at all, or a cold front for temperatures to stay the same for 5 days and to be nothing but northwest winds. I don't like that. I want to see the wind tables shift. I want some northwest. I want some west. I want it to switch over to southeast. 2 days later, I want to switch back to northwest. 2 days later, I want it to be southwest. And so all that coming into play, that's a big part of what I'm looking for. And so we lost Matt again, guys. I don't know what's going on. So here we are. The weather app of choice for both of us is WonderGround. It's a free app on the App Store. You can get it almost anywhere, and it's called WonderGround. WunderGround. WonderGround, and it's a great app that we use both in fire and hunting, and then just every day you check in to see if we're getting weather front. So it's got radar, it's got it all that we're looking for. It's got it. So, you know, you plug in your address and then it automatically give you different things. And there's some things even Matt just taught me recently of how to utilize this tool the best. And so for us, what I'm really looking for is when you open it up, you can look at the radar, look at like current conditions. And I'm doing this all up on my phone. I think you can use it on a desktop. I don't know if I ever have. If I'm using weather on a desktop, I'm using a different source. And then you've got daily forecast, hourly forecast, and then all the way down to sun and moon, which is another thing I'd like to point out here. Are you finally with us, Matt?
I'm back. I had a little technical difficulties there with this phone service. Sorry.
Where are you at now in the world?
I am sort of the St. James area right now.
And where are you headed?
I'm headed back to the house.
Oh. Okay. Were you dropping your brother off in St. Louis?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he flew into Springfield.
Nope, unfortunately not.
Gotcha.
No, so little drive for it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When you said you were dropping off at the airport early, I was like, okay, cool. You'll be back home by 8, 9 o'clock. And then you said you were driving. I'm like, I don't know what happened, but you sure drug it around in Springfield, but never mind.
Yeah, no doubt.
Gotcha. Okay. So Wonderground, I was just telling them about that and kind of jumping in.
Yeah.
So one of the quick things, I don't know, the thing that I always jump for, especially this time of year, is the daily forecast. And so it goes out,
yeah.
It goes out 10 days, I believe, or maybe just, 10 days. And I'm looking at the rain chances. And if you pull up that, you can see the zigzag effect where it's just, and as you scroll through, you'll see it just go doop, doop, doop. It'll rise up during the day and drop down during the at night. And in all that, it's very, if you were to base a hunt off of this week, I would be very upset with the weather forecast because there is really no difference between today or 10 days from now, Wednesday the 15th, actually the opener of Missouri archery season. There's really nothing different. You go from, I'll just read out the highs, 89, 80, 81, 85, 89, 90, 92, 87, 85. The day that stuck out was the 80-degree day. Okay, well, what's the low? The lows are 60, 61, 55, 56, 62, 65, 66, 68, 65, 63. So obviously that 80 and 55 is the best day, but it's not. It's not great compared to the others. And it's not even season yet, but that kind of gives you an idea. Out of all that, the coolest day is this Wednesday, 2 days from now.
Yep.
And it's not
it's
even
stagnant.
It's and that's exactly the word I said on a 7-day forecast. I don't like lukewarm. I don't like stagnant, where it's just the common theme. And so, as I told them, Matt, I don't even sure what all, but even if there's a drastic change and it gives me a southeast wind, I'm happy about it. Even though it's the dreaded wind, southeast doesn't scare me. I like them. And because my farm, I have the ability to set up with southeast winds pretty well. So. I'm looking at that and that's kind of, when I look at the line graph, I'm really just looking for a major change in the line graph of a pretty good drop. Or what I like to see is whenever you hit that peak one day and it starts to drop as the sun goes down, the next day it never really climbs back up. It just continues to drop or kind of level off at that low. The high for one day is what the low was the day previously. That's the day I like.
Yeah, and I also look for the compounding variables. So what I mean by that is if you have these changes in weather, temperatures, so these swings, that means there's usually a front of some sort. So pressure is going to be changing as that's happening as well. So it's not like, oh, that's just good just because the temperature changes. Well, there's other factors that are moving and changing as well. And then you usually get a wind direction change or wind speed change on that those days too, where you have this more turbulence or bigger temperature drop. So it's these compounding things that all add up to, wow, man, deer are going to respond to that out there and move differently because of it, different intensities.
Other thing I like in this line graph is relative humidity. So early in the season, humidity comes into play for us pretty significantly. Basically, I mean how much moisture we have in the air. And so I always combine that with wind speed, which is also on this. So if I have high humidity and low wind speed, those are days I'm skipping out on. I hate them. I'm just like, nope, I'm not going to sit in a cloud bank and let my scent just fall all around me.
Yesterday or 2 days ago, I hung a set, and obviously it's still September, low wind speed, high humidity. We had rain the day before, and so that night the humidity didn't ever leave. Next day, mid-morning, I went and hung the stand, and the canopy, full leaf coverage, just trapped all that hot air from off the ground and humidity. And it was 15, 20 foot above. I sat in the tree stand, basically checked to make sure shooting lanes were clear. Got that guy out of there because it was awful. It was like you were sitting at the top of a bubble and all the hot air has risen. You have no wind speed to move that and get it away from your area. And we're asking deer who have amazing noses to come into that little environment, a 30-yard distance circumference around you. No way that's going to happen on a very regular basis in those specific conditions, especially early season.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It's just like a disaster to even try it. And I don't care to hunt high humid days as long as the wind speeds up, but they don't happen that much. Usually, if it's really windy, a lot of that air or that front is getting pushed out, and so it's not just wet, damp air sitting around. So, but if it's over 10 and still at 80% or higher relative humidity, I'm fine with it depending on the situation, depending on the stand location. But I try to fight saying absolutes, but one thing I can almost guarantee is I don't hunt days with a less than 5 mile an hour wind speed and high humidity and higher temperatures because it's like I'm wasting my time. Unless I'm trying to shoot does and I know I've got a spot where I can go and thin a couple out, I'll do it. But I'm not chasing a target buck in those conditions. So this hourly graph is awesome. Matt, why don't you talk a little bit about the current conditions part that you like really well?
Yeah, so when you open up that app and you're immediately looking at, okay, what's happening outside right there real time, that temperature. So the kind of interface of that app, it tells you the temperature, it tells you the wind speed, and a little compass to tell you wind direction. And then below that temperature tells you like the feel like. But it's kind of surrounded by a little bit like a bar graph, color graph to show you intensity of the heat. So what you can do there once you see that for your given area code is it doesn't seem like it's a button, but tap that temperature. Let's say it's 75 degrees out, hit 75, and it will pull up more detailed information regarding that area's barometric pressure. It will tell you more about the relative humidity. It will tell you more about whether it's rising or falling pressure. It'll give you more information regarding the rain percentage chance. And then if you can look at all that, determine again what's happening right now, current real time. And then on another note, you go back to that same interface and you hit the rain percentage chance. It'll pull up when is that rain over the next like 24-hour period, kind of in a line graph situation or orientation, tell you that as well. So that kind of in a quick snapshot, easy to get to, is right there, kind of one tap away. You open up the app, pulls it right up, tap it once, and you have all that information displayed at you to kind of, again, compare, contrast of what's happening now versus what's going to be happening in the near future. So it allows you to make those kind of quicker second decisions, whether you're looking at you're at lunch at work or something, you're like, do I need to go this afternoon or not? That's kind of what I pull up and make that determination.
Absolutely. And I think that's all great points. Hopefully can help people, because I know sometimes when you haven't really gotten kind of the grasp of what all to look for, it's easy to go, okay, there's the weather. I can look at the line graph and see the rise and falls of the highs and the lows. I can see a difference between this day and that, and then barometric pressure. And that's when, if you're looking at barometric pressure and you follow it well, and you can see, okay, there's barometric pressure. That's kind of the range I like. I like this temperature range, and I like this wind speed, and I like this relative humidity. I like this cloud cover. And all that aligns, you're like, whoa. You have like 3 days each fall that's like, that's the killing day. And so then you go, well, if I've already, okay, that's the killing day, and there's the wind that I need to kill out of those stands but I've already hunted them three times during early season, you go, oh, I might have really already messed up my fall before it really even got good. If you think about it like that. And that's what I think most people, including myself, have done so many times in the past, that really you got a few days to really make it count. And if you're hunting your good spots, because that's the only real spot you have for that wind, that's when you can create problems.
And when the other important factor in that too is a lot of that you could overhunt areas too if your access isn't good. And we get we go down that road in another podcast, but when you have clean access, maybe three times isn't burnout spot. Maybe it takes more than that, but I know for a fact if you're going in there on poor conditions and your access is bad, that stand could be pretty much toast and just experience a lot of nighttime activity opposed to daylight. And so there's a lot of these factors that kind of go into it, but at the same time, some of it's once you get the gist of it, of how these factors and variables influence deer movement, it all makes sense. And another way to kind of, let's say, check yourself to make sure that you do know, how much play or variance there is with have, like for us, we use the Cuddy Link system, but if you have cellular cameras, you can look and know how much activity there is each day on given weather conditions because you're updated daily. But if you're pulling a card, really go back and look at previous weather from 6 days ago. Wow, it seemed like a lot of deer moved. That's hard to get to. That's hard to find kind of that historical saved information. So here in this time frame of having the real-time information and real-time photos of what happened that day, it gives you that sense of, man, they moved a lot, or it's just normal. Well, maybe it was normal because nothing changed drastically in the weather. It's that kind of gauge of temperature, the gauge of how much activity is actually happening out there on a given property.
That's right. Yeah. I think I'm almost to the point now that I would say that if you're basing your hunting strategy off of trail cameras that aren't cellular, you're really shooting yourself in the foot because the information is, unless you're checking it very frequently, but then we can talk about how checking trail cameras very frequently can definitely overpressure a property. Depending on where you've got your trail cameras up. I feel like if you're just running normal, pull the card, go back and check and see what's been moving, that's a, in my opinion, a bad way to base a hunting strategy. Wouldn't you agree, Matt?
Yeah, it's more or less reactionary and it's information to have, but it doesn't allow you to plan as good or as well as having real time information at your disposal. We've specifically targeted and hunted deer based on the previous day's movement or the previous 5 days movement on a given card, or maybe that buck showed up in that area last night. Let's go in, hunt between those two bedding thickets and that saddle. Boom, there's an encounter with them, or there's a harvest with them. I think, I can't remember the name of the buck that you killed a couple of years ago, but that was a similar situation. Showed up multiple times in a saddle on a scrape. It's like, oh gosh, that we need to go hunt that deer. Tomorrow, the conditions are right. You and Chad went in there, you harvested the deer. And I think like the next day, same thing. It was early November. We didn't know where going to hunt. We're like, well, let's see what happens overnight on Cuddy Link. And a good deer was in an area, and I went in, I think the next morning, and harvested what we think was the same deer on camera, circling this bedding area. It's like you don't get that if you don't have that information readily available to compare and contrast with the conditions of, can I get to that stand? He's in that area. Can I get there? Can I hunt it? What's the wind be like? What's the, all these other factors, do they line up? Do they make sense to have an encounter? And all of it's based on general probability.
Yeah.
But it,
probability, it makes a difference. Like, I don't want a 25% chance versus a 75% chance. That's a lot. And I'm going
look at it like this. You got a probability with the weather patterns. So just, you know, based on if you're hunting with the weather, it's all about probability. Are they going to move based on this weather front? Are they going to move around my food plot based on this weather front? Okay, that sounds good. But with pulling the card trail cameras, that's defensive hunting. It's reactionary hunting. You're basically seeing a history and going, okay, how do I hunt based on history? Knowing it's a wild animal and he may only be there once that fall. But that's a history hunting. But if you combine the two, it's very hard to be, unless he's a really good pattern on the history, it's really hard to be successful in that. But if you combine that with probability hunting and the weather fronts, knowing he's in this area because based on your history, okay, yeah, that's leading to more success. But if you combine that with, you know, habitat, not to give a little pitch on habitat improvement here, but it comes in crucial going, okay, trail cameras, if you're using those cards and you're going, okay, he's in this area of the farm, and then I have this dense pocket of bedding that's maybe 2 acres, and I've got a weather front that's coming, and it's October 20th and later, November 1st, then I have a really good success rate if I can go in there and hunt the downwind side of that bedding area. That's what I would like to see.
For sure. Yeah, well, and I was already going to take it a habitat route because this is not just a weather app type deal. This is how everything gets back into play, all these elements. But essentially, we're talking, or your situation right there was discussing one buck, right? When I'm talking probability, I'm talking about the opportunity if you have good herd management, great habitat, on good weather days. I don't want to see one buck. If they're good days, we should be experiencing, if all of these elements are being worked on and improved, the herd dynamics and the habitat, the defined features on a property and good weather days, we should be experiencing multiple bucks doing very similar things if all those elements are in place and you're choosing those days to hunt. It's not just that's the one buck kind of deal. Maybe he shows up this year, maybe he doesn't. Kind of like the podcast down that you and Chad recorded. Man, this is the stuff where we want good days, tons of observations, because it's all working in sync with one another. It's not just I've got this element or I'm in a good area, I'm in a good neighborhood, so I'll leech off and just kind of get lucky at some point during the year. Something's going to yield a result. No. Yeah. Again, high probability, confidence that it's going to happen here on these conditions during this time of the year, because this is what deer need and this is how they move on the landscape. I want the probability to be almost to the point that I'm certain of it. That's what I'm not satisfied and setting up a property consulting-wise or hunting a property until I'm certain that that's going to happen.
That's
almost
right.
To the point of certain.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't predict the future here, but at the same time, I can feel very certain and confident that these situations or these scenarios will play out because of all the factors that are at play here.
That's right. Yep. Yep. And I think that hopefully pretty well gives guys a good idea of the three spears of predicting a successful hunt. You've got your history or your trail cam observations of knowing, and it could be visual observations like your eyes, you've watched, and then you have your habitat layout, which is another huge factor, in my opinion, more important than the observations with trail cameras or eyes glassing them with binoculars. And then you have the other side, which is the weather front. You got to have the weather to get them on their feet to then, and you got to have the buck, that's sphere one. You got to have the habitat, that's sphere two. And then you got to have the weather to put him on his feet more likely in range. And that's kind of the three-headed monster that we're trying to navigate through.
Yeah, and to increase all that probability of it happening.
And I want to make a clear line in the difference in habitat, in going that if you haven't done the habitat management, and a lot of outdoor television hasn't shown you what you can do with habitat management, because what they're showing you in like an outfitter is, you know, a food source or a lot of acres that they manage the hunting on it.
Standing crop
that other people haven't done. But you haven't seen, most people haven't seen deer respond to a well-manicured habitat program where you have the diversity within the forest or the old fields and all that coming into play. Most people haven't got to see that. And once you do, you're like, that I'd rather have 400 acres managed like that than 2,000 another way that's just nothing but food plots. And so that's hopefully something that people are working towards, because I can promise you, once you've spent a fall hunting a property that has dense cover like bedding thickets or edge feathering on bigger food plots where they're coming in on the side of the food plot that you're setting on, your access is laid out great. It's like you haven't even seen that world.
Fish in a barrel.
Yeah, you haven't even seen that world. So
yep.
Anyway, guys, we appreciate you listening each week, and we'll be right back here next week as we get right here closer to Missouri archery season.
It's right here around the corner, guys. Appreciate you listening.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.